This week on Peace to Live By.
We know that most of our forefathers believed in Jesus Christ, whether you consider the pioneers from some 400 years ago, or whether you consider our forefathers at the beginnings of our government, this republic, there was great honor for Christ and his ways.
Thank you for joining us on today's broadcast. The weekly radio program Peace to Live By features Bible teacher Daniel Litton and is found online at peacetoliveby.org. The mission of the broadcast is to give firm foundations of clear biblical truth and to share the truth with those who are not in a personal relationship with Jesus yet. Let's hear Daniel tell us more about the message today. Daniel?
Thanks, Wayne. Today we are going to discuss some of the issues that we as Christians face here in our society, here in America. Today's episode will be the season finale for Season 3, and I want to thank all the listeners for a great season. I hope to be back with new episodes sometime after the summer. I appreciate the comments of encouragement that I have received from the listeners as you enjoy the program. Today, I hope as we consider these issues in regard to our country, that we will find both help and comfort in these matters. Remember, too, to pray for our leaders and the government, as prayer always helps. I hope everyone is enjoying spring, and I pray that we will all be staying close to God as this year carries along.
Okay, thanks, Daniel. Now, here's today's message.
I hope everyone finds themselves in a good place today. Many people in our day and age try to approach the issues of life with their own wisdom, with what they feel is right in their own minds, and with what they can see with their own eyes. Proverbs tells us, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. And also 16 and verse 25. Some people look at things with worldly perspectives, considering only the natural realm that is in front of them. They fail to see God, and they miss half of the equation. They miss out on the spiritual things in life, and they have been aided with theories like evolution for the development of the human, which has made them feel comfortable in their anti-God position. In fact, in recent times, our society here in the United States has become very accommodating to this type of thinking, and more people are adopting naturalistic perspectives about how they live. And these views certainly have influenced the world of politics. Indeed, many people are thinking about politics, especially this year, considering it is a presidential election year. We have seen quite our fair share of news and political debate on the various matters of our days. And so, this year is important for us as a country, and it's important for those of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Many of us are familiar with the issues. For some of us, we might even call politics a hobby of ours. I'm not so sure I want to say it's a hobby of mine. American history definitely is. But I do want to spend some time today discussing the current state of America and some of the issues that affect us as evangelical Christians. Heartbreak for us comes when we look at our current world and see that most of those around us don't practice the truth of the gospel of our Lord. They don't believe that Jesus' way to God is the only way, if they even believe in God. They believe Christianity is just one way among many ways. then it's just one perspective among many perspectives. And that can be discouraging for us, especially considering we know that we hold the truths to life. We know that if people would just believe, that they would be amazed at the life they would find, the happiness, the joy, and the feelings of rest and peace. It is really an amazing thing to be in right and personal relationship with the Creator of the universe. We have complete access to Him anytime we want to talk to Him, or any moment we have a problem that we need help with. Anytime we are feeling down, we always have someone with us. We are never alone, no matter what we feel. And I think also that part of our dismay at the corruption and morality that we see going on around us is because we know what America used to be. We know its foundation and the roots of our liberty we so dearly enjoy. We know that most of our forefathers believed in Jesus Christ, whether you consider the pioneers from some 400 years ago, or whether you consider our forefathers at the beginnings of our government, this republic. There was great honor for Christ and His ways. The laws of this country were founded on His principles primarily, and His relationship with these men broke into an admirable form of government, none of which likes the world has ever seen. Democracy is truly impressive. And never until recently has there been any disagreement with the laws of this country and the Bible. So we were easily able to call this democratic society our own Christian nation, and we have done so proudly. But over the last 50 years or so, things have taken a change into a whole different direction for our country. Christ's influence in people's hearts and minds has been on the dramatic decline, so that more and more people are being brought up and raised without Christ's influence and principles for living. And this has led to a dramatic downfall and the morality of our society and culture. It's amazing how people will follow rules in many areas of their lives, like at their workplace or while driving on the road, but when it comes to their personal morality, people want to believe there are no rules. They want to believe that they can just do whatever they want to do, and that their choices are perfectly acceptable and good. And they have the ability to make those choices. But this so-called sexual freedom really doesn't make any sense at all. And we as Christian preachers of the Word of God seek to warn those who will listen that they are not free without consequence, judgment, both in this life, this world, and in the life to come. Some time ago, I heard a sermon from John MacArthur, pastor-teacher of Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, in which he was discussing the downfall of the Bible and morality in our society, and I think he captured best the process by which this has occurred. He stated the following, quote, "First you have a government, a nation, a society, a culture that rejects the Bible. The next step is, if you reject the Bible, you have no foundation for morality, so you come up with a new morality, which is to turn the old morality on its head. So you reverse everything. That's the second step. Evil is good, and good is evil. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, homosexual marriage, abortion, whatever it is, that's acceptable in the new morality. Once you've rejected the Bible, you turn morality upside down. The third step is you cry for tolerance, 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 tolerance. The next step is the people who won't give tolerance are not tolerated, So it turns to intolerance, and the fifth step is persecution. That's where it's going, and it's going pretty fast. I think we've worked through the rejection of the Bible. We've worked through the reversal of morality. We're working past tolerance toward intolerance. And following the intolerance, for those of us who will not cave into this, is going to come the persecution. That's going to put the pressure on the church, and the true church will be faithful to its message, no matter the price. End of quote. That was John MacArthur. The sermon's titled Marks of Real Church Growth from March of 2013. Even though the unbeliever has the ability of choice in this life, he or she is still subject to God's morality, his standard for perfection. And God will judge anyone who does not meet that perfect standard. And we as Christians know, interestingly enough, that no one can in fact meet that standard by his own will and aptitude. No, Christ is the one who is our righteousness. By trusting in his death on the cross and his resurrection from death to life, we have become the righteousness of God. The Apostle Paul told Titus, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Titus chapter 3 and verses 4 through 8. And the good news today is that anyone can put on Christ's perfect righteousness. Anyone can be declared and seen as right before God by trusting in the blood of Christ shed on the cross on our behalf, becoming the perfect substitute before God for our sins against him. And just as Satan would have it, he has twisted some of the minds of individuals in our day and age into believing that the sexual practices of certain individuals in our society needs to be celebrated and honored. Often you will see that pro-homosexual advocates compare the events of the 1860s, the time of the Civil War, and the freeing of the slaves, as the same for their cause. But one must remember that God is against such sexual relationships. If one looks at the Old Testament, it is clearly seen that he destroyed two entire cities and the surrounding areas, as Jude tells us, over the sin of homosexuality. And God clearly prohibits its practice in the New Testament. It doesn't follow his natural order for created things. It's a perversion of behaviors between two people created in his image, and it is very offensive to him. He has provided a way for individuals to enjoy their sexuality in an institution which he ordained called marriage, which is between one man and one woman, and is supposed to be for life. Since marriage is an institution from God, gay marriage isn't possible, because if it's not God approved, it's not a real marriage. And that even with a government backing. And so, God judges individuals who practice this sin, both in the here and now, and in the life to come, just as he judges people who practice other sexual sins, like those of fornication, adultery, and polygamy. But some will say, what's the harm in allowing people to practice homosexuality or other sexual sins in our society? And the thinking goes that why does it matter what other people do if it's not hurting you or others? Well, for starters, certainly it is hurting God. After all, This is his creation, and he wants people to be in right relationship with him. And it hurts our society because it further brings God's providential judgment upon our nation. When a nation clearly celebrates evil, they risk God's hand coming against them. And it hurts the people doing the sin because it's not best for them and against what God has designed. Therefore, God brings his judgment upon individuals who practice sexual sin. And it hurts any children involved because God has designed for a child to be brought up by a mother and a father, not one parent or two mothers or two fathers. Even secular, unbelieving psychologists will argue the best home for a child to be in is with a mother and a father. A child learns different things from each sex. If he or she lacks one, the child will miss out in certain areas of development. And the so-called freedoms for practicing sexual sins isn't the only problem we face in our society, or the only contradiction we see in the law of our government. The nationwide legalization of abortion that occurred in 1973 has been a great moral evil that does not line up with Scripture, and God does not approve of it. To think that such practices even exist in our country is really hard to wrap one's mind around. How could anyone really want to murder an unborn baby, a child? I do not understand that. I do not understand why some women believe that just because the baby is inside their body, that they then have the freedom or the right to choose what happens to him or her. But really, it's because their minds are deceived, and still being in the fallen state, some want to play God. We must not forget that. I do understand that people find themselves in predicaments, and maybe they just don't realize what they are really doing, but it is truly an abomination nonetheless. God is the one who creates life, and this at the moment of conception. God told the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you." Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. You see, God is the one who crafts people in their mother's wombs, and he intricately designs each individual, no matter how he or she was conceived. Life is very precious to God, and each person born is very important to him. But how are Christians to respond to those who openly practice the sexual sins and who feel that abortion is okay? Are we to turn our faces away from them or even against them? No, for the Apostle Paul has told us, "I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people," not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 9 and 10. We are to show love for those who aren't saved yet and be kind to them, hoping to win anyone who will believe in Jesus. We are to build relationships with them. We have to remember that we too were former offenders before we were saved. For Paul again said to Titus, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. We leave the judgment of unbelievers to God. As Paul also said, "For what have I to do with judging outsiders? God judges those outside." 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 12a and 13a. We want people to choose Jesus, to believe in him, and gain a personal relationship with him. An issue many Christians are thinking about in our current time is that of religious rights. Christians want to be able to stand by their convictions without being forced to do something that is against their consciences. For instance, as most of us know, Christian business owners want to be able to deny same-sex couples certain services because by rendering the services, they would be required to go against their consciences and sin against God. It's not that these Christians want to hurt anyone. They just want to protect themselves and be honoring and pleasing to God. It is unlawful, according to our original setup of government, to prohibit the free exercise of religion. Yet there are those who wish to accomplish this and render the First Amendment null and void as we have known it for hundreds of years. Now, we even have corporations getting involved, threatening to deny certain states business for the practice of the First Amendment. So now, you have businesses within the United States effectively deciding law and morality, which should in and of itself be illegal if it's not technically already, and is an abomination. It is anti-democratic and does not fall in line with the traditional beliefs of a democratic government. We as Christians, though, can be hopeful for our future. There are many Christian politicians in our day and age, many in high places, who stand for the truth and follow Jesus. We can hope that laws are passed to protect our rights, to prevent us from enduring hardships. I don't believe it is wrong to hope for this. In fact, it would be nice to see the United States go back the other direction, away from immorality and back toward following the ways of God, the ways of Jesus. But this is going to have to happen on a person-by-person basis, by leading one person to Jesus after the next. We don't know if there will be a third great awakening in this country, but there is always hope that there could be. We know that the letting go of morality is the downfall of any nation, as can clearly be seen in a quick review of world history. This is nothing new. These new and moral ways are not progressive. They are not smarter thinking for the future. It's happened before, and the results were devastating. Just take the Roman Empire as an easy example. I believe that if our forefathers knew what was going on in our country today, and perhaps they do, they would be appalled, and rightfully so. To believe you're more American to promote great immorality is a huge error. The founders, those whom created the country you love, would not have your back. In the same breath, though, we have to remember that ultimately the United States will end someday or will turn against God at the end times. The Apostle John has recorded for us, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army." Revelation chapter 19 and verse 19. So, one day in the future, all the countries that exist in the world will be against God, and Jesus will come against them with his army of angels. So while we enjoy this country and enjoy the benefits of living here, it is true that this setup is temporary. While democracy is a good form of government, it is not the form that God chooses to establish in the future. Eventually, God is going to establish his kingdom here on the earth with one ruler, Jesus Christ. Since the world belongs to God, he will set up his own government on the earth, which abides by his rules, his laws. As the Apostle Paul stated, now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Romans chapter 8, and verses 24 and 25. Perhaps you have been listening to what I have been talking about, and you have been pricked in the heart by what I have said today, but you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe you realize that what I have said is true. You're a child of this world, but you realize that there must be more than the natural. There must be more than the physical things of life. You are coming to the realization that God must be real. He is opening your eyes. Well, if that's the case for you today, I want you to know that anyone can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It is true that God wants to be in personal relationship with everyone in our world, but you need to make that choice today. No matter who you are, no matter how important or unimportant you think you are, God wants you to trust in him today. Indeed, God sent Jesus to the earth some 2,000 years ago, and he died on a cross as yours and my substitute, in our place for our sins against God and others. You see, God demands a payment for people's sins. None of us can ever make ourselves right with God. The only way for us to become right with God is by trusting in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. This is our only hope. By trusting in Jesus, you and I can experience true life, fulfilling life, that never goes away from us. If you've ever thought there has to be more to this life, that there is something missing in your life, Jesus is the answer you've been looking for. Trust in him today, and you will experience true and everlasting life. You can have peace of mind now, and peace forever forward in the future. And no one can take this peace away from you. It is an eternal peace. It is given to us by our trusting in God. If you would like to believe in Jesus today for the wrongs you've done in your life and have a new life in him, free to live, then please follow my lead in this prayer. God, today I realize that I am separated from you, but I don't want to be any longer. I do acknowledge that I've done many things wrong in my life, and I've tried to live life my own way. Today, though, I want to turn from doing life my way and accept your free gift of real life. I do believe that Jesus came to the earth and died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and is now with you, God, in heaven. Please change me, God, and make me to have real life and a fulfilling life, free from all my sins and free from any chance of entering hell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. You're listening to Peace to Live By with Bible teacher Daniel Litton. To download, listen, or read entire messages by Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. To contact the ministry, you can send emails to messages@peacetoliveby.org. You can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/peacetoliveby. For Daniel Litton, I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll be back next week with another episode of Peace to Live By. This program is produced and sponsored by Peace to Live By Ministry, Powell, Ohio.